On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, a podcast brought to you by our good friends at Wells Media, which includes Carrier Management, Insurance Journal, and other publications. And today we're pleased to have with us Jason Kolb, who's the founder and CEO of Deis, and also the Internet of Insurance, which we'll talk about here in a second. For those who can safely surf, the URL is dais.com. And Jason, thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me on, Peter.
Yeah, so let's get a little bit about your background, because I don't think we've met before. I know we've been involved in some things with Agency Nation and involvement there. But how did you get to the place you're at today? Give us a little bit of the history here.
Well, I'm a kind of a hardcore geek, now kind of an insurance geek, but I started out as a technical geek. I started programming when I was 12, wrote a book on 3D game programming when I was 16, became a developer in the contact center industry, became a director of IT, got really interested in data and analytics, so I started one of the first web-based analytics companies, sold that to Cisco. Cisco for several years, and then prior to this, I was the founding CTO at a company called Uptake in Chicago, which we took to over $2 billion valuation in about 16 months, but that's where I first ran into insurance. We were looking at it as a go-to-market channel and didn't end up doing that, but I fell in love with this space as an entrepreneur, as a technologist. Just so much room to run in this industry, and I haven't looked back since. So I love insurance. I've been deep into it now for over 4 years. You know, every once in a while, I still run into some corner or cranny of the industry that I haven't run into before. But yeah, you know, I love everything about it. I love the complexity of it. I love the people in it. It's an entire kind of supply chain. Just really begging for digitization, and it's a really fun time to be in the industry.
Yeah, it is a fun time, and there are a lot of cool people in the industry, very large industry. Mm-hmm. And your story isn't unlike others I've heard, and even the story of my career, not really setting out to be here, but here we are, and I'm grateful I've been here for so long. So what led you to founding this company, and tell us a little bit about what its purpose is?
Sure. So I only knew that I wanted to build a platform in insurance. And to me, platform means something, and it means something very specific. It means that you're building these kind of components or building blocks that you can then build other solutions out of. Salesforce is a great example of this. That everybody knows about, but there are others as well. And I've been building platforms for a number of years, and I really wanted to build one in insurance because the promise of a platform is you can extend it into different areas, and as you improve it, all the other areas that you already built out before benefit from that. That's what I wanted to do. And I had the really good fortune of getting into this with some great insurance minds, and I think that's one of the things that I was just very fortunate. I've learned over my career, you want to have the subject matter experts, especially when the industry is as complex as insurance. So one of my co-founders, Aaron Larson, has been in the industry for years and years. We've now got a very deep bench of insurance expertise. We employ several retired company presidents, for example. But really what we set out to do was create something to help agents. Our seed investor, to their everlasting credit, was Employers Mutual out of Des Moines. And they really gave us the charter to go figure out some way to help independent agents, because the thought at the time was that agents were at risk of being disintermediated by all these insurtechs and digital agencies that were starting up. So we wanted to figure out a way to level the playing field. So it was a great fit. I wanted to build a platform. They wanted to help agents. So we started building a platform. We started building things to help agents. Here we are over 3 years later. We've got the Internet of Insurance, which is our distribution network. We've also got several other kind of carrier-facing products. But I love what we're doing with agents. Agents are entrepreneurial. They are entrepreneurs. They're very kind of ambitious and competitive, and they want to, you know, drive the industry, and they're successfully doing that. And it's really, you know, kind of a pleasure to be partnering with them. I think we found some really nice alignment and also some massive pain points that were never addressed, which is really why we call it the Internet of Insurance. We're bringing the Internet into insurance, the concepts around specifically connectivity, connections between people, which is kind of what the Internet has brought into every other area of our lives. But we're bringing that into insurance.
Okay, so unpacking this a little further, what do you mean specifically or more specifically by the word platform?
So a platform, and I'm going to digress a little bit into the technical world here, but a platform is really made up of what we call services, which, you know, another word that you probably hear are APIs. Services communicate through APIs, and I won't go much more into that, but the services are what's important. Services contain these capabilities, and they can be things like collaboration, for example, or you know, carrier appetite or underwriter areas of expertise or CSR responsibilities. All of those things can be kind of encapsulated into services, which you can then reuse. Now, I'll just give you one example. So we have a collaboration service that allows us to collaborate in real time, and we use it in the Internet of Insurance for back and forth collaboration between agents and underwriters, agents and policyholders. But we also take that same service and we use it in our claim system. So we've got a claim system that we offer to carriers, and we can use that exact same service to facilitate collaboration between the adjuster and the policyholder, the adjuster and a third-party adjuster, the service facility. And so that one piece of functionality, that collaboration capability, we only had to write that once. Now, it looks different in these different places, but we only had to write that once. And as you improve that, so as you do things like add, you know, the ability to drag and drop files or notify people when something happens, all of the products that are built using that service, all of the consumers of that benefit from that improvement. So it really is kind of a, you know, a virtuous cycle where everything benefits from everything that's happening everywhere else. And the difference is, from a platform, is kind of a point solution where these are much quicker to build because you're building it for one specific purpose, but you can't extend it outside of that purpose very easily, if at all. It's a gargantuan project. So if you wanted to, you know, if you were just handling intake, for example, and kind of the application questions, and you'd built a point solution just to handle that, it's going to be very difficult to extend that into other areas, such as collaborating with underwriters.
Okay. So this is a question that I have, that I ask all InsurTech folks, because it's either extremely naive or it's just extremely, I guess, a practical question. If you look at the world of independent agents, they have, when they come into the office, whether it's home or at work, they turn on the lights, they fire up the computers, and then their world is the agency management system for most retail agents. And you know, there's a couple of very large companies providing these, probably 80%+ of the market, and there's a few others. But, you know, so how does, when I think of platform, I think of like a place that's kind of like a home base. Maybe that's the wrong word, but how does the kind of things you're providing with Deus and Internet of Insurance work with that world? Or does it not work with that world?
The thing that is so interesting and makes this such an interesting problem space is that no two agents are the same. No two agencies are the same. They all have different workflows. They all have different processes. They all have different strategic goals that they need to fulfill. The way that the world has kind of evolved outside of insurance is your platform, and I do think companies have a platform. It's just made up of different technology selections, but it ultimately needs to put you at the center of your ecosystem, whatever that is. There's obviously policyholders for agents, there's carriers, there's wholesalers, there's value-added providers. You know, we see a lot of agents who are adding additional products and services. So the platform is really the thing that needs to connect all these together. It really creates an ecosystem around the agency. The problem, I think, that a lot of the vendors who are out there today, and just to be clear, we don't compete with them, but this is really just an observation, they're suffering from what's famously called the innovator's dilemma. Clayton Christensen is a professor who kind of coined this term and wrote a book about it. But you know, there comes a point in time in every company's life cycle where when you're dominating a market, one or two things is going to happen. You're either going to get disrupted or you're going to disrupt yourself. Microsoft's a great example of this. They've disrupted themselves several times at this point. And it's painful, right? It means acknowledging that some of the things that maybe were a competitive advantage, like putting Internet Explorer, you know, prepackaged on every desktop and that's it, aren't going to work going forward. So you have to pivot and adjust. But it's painful because it means some of these revenue streams that have been very profitable for you for a long time are not going to be viable going forward. What the agency management system industry is grappling with right now is, in order to be the center of that ecosystem, in order to be the platform, you have to be open. And that is a very scary proposition for a lot of these guys because, frankly, if they don't let the agent's information, their data out, it becomes very easy to cement them in place and keep them from moving. And right now, people are kind of moving back and forth between these different agency management system vendors. So once they get them as a customer, they want to make it very difficult to leave. This is kind of in direct opposition to the concept of having a platform where you can connect an ecosystem. You can't have it open and closed at the same time. So they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do. Are they going to disrupt themselves or are they going to be disrupted? And only time is going to tell.
Yeah. I know that in recent years, and probably at different paces, both the two large ones, Vertafore and Applied, have been doing a lot more experimentation with other kinds of insurtechs. Not trying to create everything in house as they once thought they could and tried to do, but maybe just work with some people from the outside. I might have some great ideas. Might have some capital. And a kind of a fresh approach to what this whole thing could be. I've noticed that shift. So the purpose of this then would be that it could coexist with those platforms, or is this a okay?
So we do coexist and we are coexisting. Frankly, I wish it was easier to coexist, but we are. And I think that's the world that agents are going to be looking at. And they're ultimately going to drive where the market goes with their dollars. But we're addressing problems that are not addressed by the agency management systems. We're addressing kind of adjacent problems, specifically distribution, customer experience, and kind of digital marketing. And we sit alongside of it. So we make it easy to, you know, get business from the AMS out to carriers and get business from the outside world, policyholders and partnerships back into the AMS. But I do wish it was easier.
Yeah, okay. So you touched on this, the Internet of Insurance. Is that like a tribe of some kind? Can you explain what that's all about?
Sure. So I mentioned that we have a platform and that you can build multiple things on top of a platform. The Internet of Insurance is the Internet of Insurance is one of the products that we built on top of that platform. What the Internet of Insurance does is it really makes it easier to connect to the policyholder and to the carrier to facilitate new business. Specifically right now, and then also renewal and remarketing business. And we actually started the Internet of Insurance as a book roll tool, believe it or not. We had a carrier that started their own kind of in-house agency, and this made some of their agents not so happy with them, and then it ended up in a book roll situation. And at the time, we were still trying to figure out, what the highest value way was to help agents. So we kind of jumped on that, and that was about 3 years ago. So it's actually been live for over 2 years, but really what it does is it makes it, at the end of the day, selling insurance is hard. And a lot of that is because of the technology. I mean, selling insurance in and of itself is hard enough, but when you have to wrestle with the technology, it becomes even harder. So we make it easier for agents to sell insurance in a number of ways. Number one, we make it easy for them to connect to their best carriers, to get the business to their best carriers, despite whatever stage of technical maturity they might be at. So if you look at the kind of the carrier landscape, you've got a handful of nationals out there, maybe a couple regionals who've been doing things like real-time quoting via APIs for a while. Everybody else is still trying to figure that out. You get down to super regionals, maybe they have a plan for it. Regionals, most of them are still trying to figure that out, to be honest. So as an agent, what are you supposed to do? If you're trying to streamline your processes and ideally have digital marketing efforts that bring business in the door and you want to send that straight out to carriers, how do you participate? How do you let those carriers who are kind of behind the curve participate? So we make that basically a non-issue for the agent. They can send the business to any carrier regardless of their technology, regardless of which lines they've automated, which coverages they've automated. It doesn't really matter. So we go from the smallest business up to, we've written multi-million dollar accounts through the Internet of Insurance. So making it easy to do business with all the carriers is one of the things that we do. We also have digital marketing tools for agents, specifically helping to make each of the agents on our platform functionally equivalent to a cover wallet or an Insurion, for example. So we give all of our agents the digital tools that they need to, on their website or affinity programs or partnerships, they can take that traffic and really turn it into business, which again, then we can allow them to distribute on the back end to all carriers that they want to. So really kind of the customer experience, the ability to turn traffic into dollars, and then the ability to connect to all of their carriers on the back end is, really what we do for agents. And then for carriers, on the flip side, we make it very easy to get business in the door in whatever the way they need it. We've got six different ways that we built to connect, so we're able to very easily integrate with existing workflows without disrupting anything, which is, not easy to do, and I think pretty unique to us. But it's really all about creating that connection. So whether that's submissions, whether that's quotes, whether it's additional documents and data that's going back and forth between the agent, the policyholder, and the underwriter at renewal time, we make it very easy for that information to flow back and forth.
Okay. Well, Jason, let's chat for a bit about maybe some industry trends and such. I was struck by how the Elevate conference was able to pivot from an in-person show, and it was supposed to be in Nashville back in June. Mm-hmm. And it was a completely virtual event. I was the speaker there. There were a lot of people, participating, listening. But preparing for this, I was talking about culture, building your brand from the inside out, the importance of culture, and doing some research, I found that the CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, says that half of their 45,000 people that work there, employees, are going to be permanently working at home in the future. And he went on to say that Zoom is kind of like, these tools, video conferencing like the Elevate show was and others in the industry. It's not just Elevate. Zoom, we've all been doing Zoom calls with our employees, with our colleagues, with prospects, et cetera, that he found them to be what he called transactional. But people, if they're going to be working remotely in the future, more people, they're going to need something beyond video conferencing that's going to be what he called more ad hoc and more kind of human, like social bond building, culture, creativity, whiteboarding, brainstorming, the kind of things that happen in person are tough to do right now because of the visual clues that are missing with the flat screen, people looking at each other. And it's very kind of tiring in a way to pick up those clues if it's just a video call. So all that to say, what do you think about that? I thought that was interesting. It has a lot to do with future technology that could come down the pike where it's something more than just a video conference call.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating. It's been really interesting to watch how companies have adapted as everybody's been forced to work remotely. And I think some of the degree to which the companies kind of embrace enabling being remote has a lot to do with the people who run the company and if they actually want that to be successful or if they want to get people back in the office as quickly as possible. Because, you know, we're pretty distributed. We've got people all across the U.S., and we also have a couple teams offshore. And so we've been forced to adapt. It's been really interesting to watch the startup community kind of adapt, too, because they're the ones who are, you know, using the newest tools, experimenting with things all the time. So obviously Zoom has been tremendously successful through all this. And it's been interesting to watch the dynamics kind of evolve, because you're right, it is tiring. Being on a video call, for whatever reason, it is very tiring. So if you're like me, you've probably spent hours and hours a day on these video calls, and doing a phone call like we're doing right now is kind of a luxury. It's less mental load. What I've seen people gravitating towards, which I think is really interesting for distributed teams, is moving some of the culture building activities and events online. So I'm sure you've seen online happy hours, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I question the value of some of those because there's really nothing happening except for everybody's on Zoom at the same time. But some of the types of meetings that have come out of this are really interesting. I think I was telling you, so when the pandemic hit and we had to start going completely virtual, we would have all hands, twice a month, usually once a month, but we realized that it was really important to get people connected and feeling connected to the group. So we started doing them twice a week. We started off doing it on Monday morning and Friday afternoon. We're still doing that, but we did for Friday is we turned that into happy hour, and literally it's just happy. So we celebrate wins. We give shout outs to people. We find some fun videos to kind of, either educate people or do something kind of fun and funny, but we intentionally keep it really lightweight and fun. So that, as people are going into the weekend, they're happy and feel good about what they did over the week. We celebrate wins. And on a Monday morning, we just start kicking off, here's what we're doing this week. Here's what we did last week. Here's our goals for the week. And it's been really interesting to watch the engagement kind of go up as we've done this, because what it's really done, we've moved from kind of the traditional 2-week sprint cycle in Agile to really more of a weekly cadence, but the productivity has gone up, and I don't know how much of that to attribute to people not having anything else to do, but the engagement has certainly gone up, and just the sense of being part of a group has really gone up just with that increased communication cadence and also trying to keep these meetings kind of fun, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. It's excellent. I like the fact that you have it as a regular kind of, like you said, cadence, more frequent. I think I've heard a lot of people say that they have these calls once a week where it's not about work at all. It's just about how you doing, keep it happy. The people are really stressed out. Let me ask you, in the time we have left, ask you quickly, with this pandemic we're in the middle of, hopefully coming out of later in 2020, What are you seeing in terms of the insurtech world in terms of investment announcements, alliances? Have people hit the pause button, or is this sped up, even maybe instead of delaying, maybe sped up some things just because it's just a different environment?
We've seen it speed up. I think what you're going to see are a couple of things. One is consolidation. There's a ton of investment money being raised right now, and there's kind of some special vehicles that people are using to raise these funds. But you know, hundreds of million dollar funds for the purpose of buying both agencies and insurtechs. So I think you're going to see a lot of consolidation on the company side. You're also seeing this on even the insurance company side, I think, with Hippo recently. But so you're going to see a lot of acquisitions, a lot of consolidation. On the insurtech side, I think this has benefited the people who have real tools that work, because people are stepping on the gas when it comes to especially digitizing their agency and acquiring getting into new markets. The ones who were kind of in progress when this happened were, you know, in every startup, there's kind of a life cycle where your product has to reach maturity. Until then, you're iterating, getting feedback, and it takes a long time. If you're stuck in the middle of that during this time, it's going to be really difficult to continue that, because that's very dependent on in-person meetings. There's a lot of logistics that just don't work. I also think you're going to see a lot of partnerships. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot in the way of big CapEx spends here over the next 6 months. So instead of looking at building things, people are looking at partnering. So if you have something, again, that works, that's real, and instead of trying to do everything yourself, people are starting to look at partnering more. Which again is going to be highly dependent on the how aligned they are with this platform concept and their ability to do that. I think that's where you see a lot of the attention being focused.
And that makes so much sense, because you just look at what's going on in the world, not just the business world, but there's a sense that you hear this cliche over and over, we're all in this together kind of thing. If you think about the vision that insurtechs have to make the world a better place, whether they're headed in the right direction to get there or not, from a product standpoint, a strategy, the money, the whole thing or not, a lot of them have the same idea that they want to make the world a better place for independent agents and brokers. And if you have these people out there who are sort of searching, you can see where, I mean, you cut through all the crap, you know, maybe we should just partner on this instead of trying to compete or us rolling out things at a different pace and that sort of thing. So I can see that, Jason. That makes a ton of sense to me.
Yeah, and it's going to require people to be comfortable with some level of overlap. I mean, look, insurance is one big supply chain, and there's overlap when you're dealing with some element of that. And so I think it's going to really require folks to really hone in on what their core value proposition is and be okay with some amount of overlap on the periphery. And that's, you know, that's an uncomfortable change for some people.
Yeah. All right, Powell, well, we're out of time. For folks, how do folks reach you, Jason, if they have interest? Follow up here.
Go to dais.com, DAIS.com. You can reach me, my email is simple, jason@dais.com, or find me on LinkedIn. I'm happy to connect.
Okay, great, cool. All right, my friend. Well, hope you and your family and your colleagues are going to be safe over the course of the summer, and look forward to catching you at a future show, hopefully in person soon.
That sounds great. It's been fun, Peter. Thanks a ton for having me.
Okay, bud. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.